Chapter 2. The sentry was a seasoned sorcerer, a sword lord who'd killed 16 men and bound their forelocks into his fiery red hair. His eyes probed the darkness restlessly, where the forest and the oak grove met. And when he turned, he shielded his eyes from his comrades' low fires to protect his night vision. Despite the cool wind that swept the camp and set the great oaks groaning, he wore no helmet that would muffle his hearing. But he had no chance of stopping the wet boy. Former wet boy, Kylar thought, balancing one-handed on a broad oak limb. If he were still a killer for hire, he'd murder the sentry and be done with it. Kylar was something different now. The Night Angel. Immortal. Invisible. And nearly invincible. And he only served death to those who deserved it. These swordsmen, from the land whose very name meant the sword, Siura, were the best soldiers Kylar had ever seen. They had set up camp with efficiency that spoke of years of campaigning. They cleared brush that might conceal the approach of enemies, banked their small fires to reduce their visibility, and arranged their tents to protect their horses and their leaders. Each fire warmed 10 men, each of whom clearly knew his responsibilities. They moved like ants in the forest, and once they finished their duties, each man would only wander as far as an adjacent fire. They gambled, but they didn't drink, and they kept their voices low. The only snag in all the Siurans' efficiency seemed to come from their armor. With Siuran bamboo and lacquer armor, a man could dress himself. But donning the Caladoran armor they had stolen a week ago at Pavil's Grove required assistance. Scale mail mixed with chain and even plate, and the Siurans couldn't decide if they needed to sleep armored or if men should be assigned to each other as squires. When each squad was allowed to decide for itself how to fix the problem, and didn't waste time asking up the chain of command, Kylar knew his friend, Logan Gyre, was doomed. War leader Lantano Garawashi paired the Siuran love of order with individual responsibility. It was emblematic of why Garawashi had never lost a battle. It was why he had to die. So, Kylar moved through the trees like the breath of a vengeful god, only rustling the branches in time with the evening wind. The oaks grew in straight, widely spaced rows, broken where younger trees had muscled between their elders' shoulders and grown ancient themselves. Kylar had climbed out as far on a limb as he could and spied Lantano Garawashi through the swaying branches, dimly illuminated in the light of his fire, touching the sword in his lap with the delight of recent acquisition. If Kylar could get to the next oak, he could climb down mere paces from his deader. "Can I still call my target a deader, even though I'm not a wet boy anymore?" Thinking of Garawashi as a target was impossible. Kylar could still hear his master, Durzo Blint's, voice. "Assassins," he sneered, "have targets, because assassins sometimes miss." Kylar gauged the distance to the next limb that could bear his weight. 8 paces. It was no great leap. The daunting part was landing on a tree limb and arresting his momentum silently with only one arm. If Kylar didn't leap, he'd have to sneak between two fires where men were still passing intermittently, and the ground was strewn with dead leaves. He'd jump, he decided, when the next good breeze came.
There's an odd light in your eyes,
Lantano Gerowashi said. He was big for a Sioran, tall and lean, and as heavily muscled as a tiger. Stripes of his own hair, burning the same color as the flickering fire, were visible through the 60 locks of all colors he'd claimed from opponents he'd killed.
I've always loved fire. I want to remember it as I die.
Kylar shifted to get a look at the speaker. It was Fi'ir Kusat, a blonde mountain of a man as wide as he was tall. Kylar had met him once. Fi'ir was not only a capable hand with a sword, he was a mage. Kylar was lucky the man's back was to him. A week ago, after the Caladoran god king Garath Orsul killed him, Kylar had made a bargain with the yellow-eyed being called the Wolf. In his weird lair in the lands between life and death, the Wolf promised to restore Kylar's right arm and bring him back to life quickly if Kylar stole Lantano Gerowashi's sword. What had seemed simple, who can stop an invisible man from stealing, was getting more complicated by the second. Who can stop an invisible man? A mage who can see invisible men.
So, you really don't believe the Dark Hunter lives in those woods?
Gerowashi asked.
Draw the blade a little, war leader,
Fi'ir said. Gerowashi bared the sword a hand's breadth. Light poured from a blade that looked like a crystal filled with fire.
The blade burns to warn of danger or magic. The Dark Hunter is both.
So am I, Kylar thought.
It's close? Gerowashi asked.
He rose to a crouch like a tiger, ready to pounce.
I told you, luring the Cenarian army here might be our deaths, not theirs,
Fi'ir said. He stared back into the fire. For the past week, since the Battle of Pavil's Grove, Gerowashi had led Logan and his men east. Because the Siorans had disguised themselves in dead Caladoran's armor, Logan thought he was chasing the remnants of the defeated Caladoran army. Kylar still had no idea why Lantano Gerowashi had led Logan here. But then, he had no idea why the black metal ball called Akakari had chosen to serve him, or why it brought him back from death, or why he saw the taint on men's souls that demanded death, or, for that matter, why the sun rose, or how it hung in the sky without falling.
You said we were safe as long as we didn't go to the Hunter's Wood, Gerowashi said. I said, probably safe,
Fi'ir said.
The Hunter senses and hates magic. That sword definitely counts.
Gerowashi waved a hand, dismissing the danger.
We didn't go into the Hunter's Wood, and if the Cenarians want to fight us, they must,
Gerowashi said. As Kylar finally understood the plan, he could hardly breathe. The woods north, south, and west of the grove were thick and overgrown. The only way for Logan to use his numerical superiority would be to come through the east, where the giant sequoias of the Dark Hunter's Wood gave an army plenty of space to maneuver. But it was said a creature from ages past killed anything that entered that wood. Learned men scoffed at such superstition, but Kylar had met the peasants of Toras Bend. If they were superstitious, they were a people with only one superstition. Logan would march right into the trap. The wind kicked up again, setting the branches groaning. Kylar snarled silently and leapt. With his talent, he made the distance easily. But he'd jumped too hard, too far, and he slipped off the far side of the branch. Little black talons jabbed through his clothing, along the sides of his knees, along his left forearm, and even from his ribs. For a moment, the talons were liquid metal, not so much tearing his clothes as absorbing them at each tiny point. And then they solidified, and Kylar jerked to a stop. After he pulled himself back onto the branch, the claws melted back into his skin. Kylar was left trembling, and not just because of how close he'd come to falling. "What am I becoming?" With every death reaped and every death suffered, he was growing stronger. It scared the hell out of him. What does it cost? There's got to be a price. Gritting his teeth, Kylar climbed head first down the tree, letting the claws rise and sink from his skin, stabbing little holes in his clothes and in the tree bark. When he reached the ground, the black Kakari bled from every pore to cover him like a second skin. It masked his face and body and clothes and sword, and began devouring light. Invisible, Kylar advanced. "I dreamed of living in a small town like that Tauros Bend," Fi'ir said, his back as broad as an ox before Kylar. "Build a smithy on the river. Design a water wheel to drive the bellows until my sons are old enough to help. A prophet told me it could happen." "Enough of your dreams," Garawashi cut him off, standing. "My main army should be almost through the mountains. You and I are going."
Main army? The last piece clicked. This was why the Sa-Seer-I had dressed as Kalidorans. Garawashi had drawn the best of Sanaria's army far to the east, while his main army was massing in the west. With the Kalidorans defeated at Pavil's Grove, Sanaria's peasant levies were probably already hurrying back to their farms. In days, a couple hundred Sanarian castle guards were going to face the entire Seoran army.
"Going? Tonight?"
Fi'ir asked, surprised.
"Now."
Garawashi smirked, right at Kylar. Kylar froze, but he saw no flash of recognition in those green eyes. Instead, he saw something worse. There were 82 kills in Garawashi's eyes. 82. And not one of them a murder. Killing Lantano Garawashi wouldn't be justice. It would be murder. Kylar cursed aloud. Lantano Garawashi jumped to his feet, the scabbard flying from a sword that looked like a bar of flame, his body already in a fighting stance. The mountain that was Fi'ir was only a little slower. He was on his feet, turning with naked steel in his hand, faster than Kylar would have believed from a man so big. His eyes went wide as he saw Kylar. Kylar screamed in frustration and let blue flame whoosh over the Kakari skin and the great frowning mask he wore. He heard a footstep as one of Garawashi's bodyguards attacked from behind. Kylar's talent surged, and he backflipped, planting his feet on the man's shoulders and pushing off. The Sa-Seer-I smashed into the ground, and Kylar flipped through the air, blue flames whipping and crackling from his body. Before he caught the branch, he dropped the flames and went invisible. He flipped from branch to branch, one-handed, with no attempt at stealth. If he didn't do something, tonight, Logan and all his men would die.
Was that the hunter? Garawashi asked.
Worse,
Fear said, pale.
That was the Night Angel. Perhaps the only man in the world you need fear.
Lantano Garawashi's eyes lit with a fire that told Fear he heard the words, "Man you need fear," as worthy adversary.
Which way did he go?
Garawashi asked.